Hi, Paul. How are you? I'm good. I've just been in the other room and I've been watching the football and obviously only finished about 5 minutes ago and I've run like hell to get back into the studio. And obviously England just sneaked one in with about 2 minutes of extra time to go. Thank goodness Mr. Sturridge did his bit. I think it has. So we've won, if you're English. Sorry about that for Wales. But I'm hoping Wales will get through too, obviously. So there we go. Would you like to know what we've got on today, Paul? So I've got the lovely Kevin Newing, who's also been watching football with me and has bought some lovely ciders with him. And Kevin is a cider maker and he's been producing cider on his farm for 3 years. And last year, he won the very, very prestigious Camra, which is the campaign for real ale people. He won the Camra Best Cider in the South of England award. So it must be good stuff. And obviously, I'm really, really looking forward to tasting that. We've got quite a boozy programme today, Paul, because I know you're not a drinker, but you know I am. So we've got a really interesting We Hate Heston in the middle, which essentially is me and three mates making cocktails one evening and discussing how we make them. And I have Christy here, who was one of those one of my colleagues making cocktails. So we're going to go through that. And what we did is we chose a lovely cocktail each, and then we swapped our top cocktail making tips with each other. And obviously we tasted them all, it goes without saying. And keeping on the drink theme, we've got Julian of Muddles Beverages coming in later on as well, and he makes some very interesting and rather different juices. So we're sort of verging on the apple orangey type theme today. Shall I give you some cider facts?
Good idea. Yeah.
Good idea. Some cider facts. Yeah. So cider presses, the things that were used to sort of press and get the apple juice out, were first mentioned as a source of income in 1230 in a royal charter granted to the Bishop of Bath. And I'm going to talk to Christy about this here because she's got children. You won't believe this, Christy, but in the 14th century, children were baptised in cider. Because cider was cleaner than water. Can you believe that? Farm workers' wages, and Kevin owns a farm, so I'm sure he's got staff working for him, but farm workers' wages historically included 4 pints of cider a day. Not sure we'd be able to get them to do any work after that, but apparently that's what happened. In the 19th century, it was used to cure for gout and other illnesses, so it's obviously pretty good for you. And at one time, 365 different varieties of cider apples were grown, and I think UK was well known for growing apples. It takes on average 36 pieces of fruit to make a gallon of apple cider, so there's loads and loads of apples in there. And nearly half of the apples grown in Britain are actually used to make cider rather than what you eat.
Really?
So, yeah. Only 13% of adults drink cider once a month, compared to 51% for beer. So I'm gonna ask Kevin later how are we gonna get people to really start drinking cider, because it's a fantastic drink and it's very traditional. So that's all our cider stuff. I didn't know whether you wanted to do a little bit of cheesy tunage before we sort of go on with Kevin, because I've got so many questions that I want to ask him. So if we could have a little bit, because that's the bit I don't like about the programme, as you know, and I know you love it. So I was thinking, why don't we just get that out of the way, Paul, and then we're going to steam in having a good old chat with Kevin.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's go.
Okay, I'm dying to hear what this is.
No matter who you are.
Kings of Leon. I actually like the Kings of Leon. I was playing that just by coincidence in my car this morning, a bit of the old Kings of Leon. So, Paul, I've got... That was Manhattan, obviously, if anybody wants to know. It fits in with the old cocktail bit. So I've got Kevin here, and he's bought me... He's just such a nice man. He's bought this 6 bottles here, which is jolly decent of him, and all sorts of varieties of cider that he makes. And in front of me, I've got blackcurrant cider. That's looking rather nice. Lemon cider. And then 2 traditional ciders. One's a medium and one's a dry. And because you don't drink, Paul, we've got some lovely apple juice for you.
Oh, looking forward to that,
Sue. I know. And my favourite, which I really, really, really haven't had for ages, Kevin makes mead. So I'm quite interested to know what's in that. And it's in a beautiful bottle. It looks lovely. So this year he's expanded the business. And he makes 21,000 litres of cider and 15 gallons of mead a year. So, hello, Kevin.
Afternoon.
Are you happy with the football result before we go any further? You were panicking in there. I saw you.
Yeah, of course. It's about time England got the rub of the green at the end of the game.
So you're saying that they were just unlucky in being 1-1 and finally got the goal they deserved rather than they weren't playing very well?
Yeah, of course. I believe it's the right result. The wrong result the other night against the Russians.
Against Russia. Mm. Well, we'll move on to cider. So I'm going to taste some of your ciders, and I've got Christy, my colleague, here with me. What do you recommend I taste first? What shall I do, Kevin? They're looking so lovely here.
Well, the cider I would go for would be the dry.
The dry traditional cider. Okay, so I'm going to ask... Christy, if you'll just pour us a couple there. So tell me exactly how you make cider. I mean, obviously, I presume it's apples.
Yeah, basically, we select the apples and the blend that we require and mill the apples, which is basically crushing them up, before we put them into the cheeses, which is the crushed apple covered in a cloth and then pressed to get the juice out, to extract the juice.
So that's a cold press. You literally just press it, yeah, as hard as you can.
Because we're making 2,000 or 3,000 litres a day, we need a press that mechanical rather than the physical machine.
Yeah. So how big is that then, Kevin? It must be huge if you're doing that much. Is it like the size of a person or?
Yeah, the press is about 6 foot, and it's got a sliding container, so you can make 9 cheeses while they're being pressed. You can then empty or prepare the next lot, so it cuts the time down.
Wow. So I've just poured a glass. You've got a little glass there, Christy.
I have.
Do you want a little taste first?
It's
quite clear, because sometimes, especially in Kent, when I've been to sort of the farms, some of them are quite cloudy, but this is quite clear. Your thoughts while I'm having a swig?
Lovely. It's quite dry, but quite clean tasting as well. So
that is nice.
Like refreshing, I'd say.
And what apples do you use, Kevin, for this? Do you use a variety, a mix of them, or a particular variety?
Yeah, we blend, of course. In that particular one, it's a Gala, a bit of Discovery, and a Bramley.
So Gala, I see in the supermarket, so we'll be quite familiar with that. I don't know the other one, but Bramley, that's a cooking apple, is it?
That's right. You need... to get that tanning or back of the throat hit, if you use dessert apples, you're not going to find that. So you do need approximately about a third of Bramley.
You can tell that. It's nice, isn't it, Christy? I don't think it's not sweet, and it's got a very earthy taste, I think. Do you?
Yeah.
Sort of earthy taste. And I'd go for that. Is it strong, though? I haven't looked at the bottle.
Yeah, that one's a 6.4 this year. So.
6.4. So that's the equivalent of having pretty... decent strong beer, isn't it?
Well, a strong ale, session beers are 3.5-4%.
Oh my goodness me.
But it's quite strong then.
Not have blown up too much more of that. We've now got a medium cider. So is it as simple as putting more sugar in it?
Correct. You just add some sugars to it. There are other ways you can stop the fermentation, but by pasteurising. But I don't like to go down that road because I think it takes away from the flavour of the apple.
And by pasteurising, you mean heating? That's right. And I think we've had quite a lot of guests here who do juices and all sorts of other things, and they're saying they don't really like the pasteurisation process if they can help it, because it literally destroys quite a lot of the goodness and some of the flavours. So if you can cold press, you know, that's a better option. So that's what you do with yours.
That's correct, yeah.
Lovely. So I haven't pulled one of these out yet. Christy's just having a little taste. Are you sweet tooth? Do you prefer?
I prefer the dry ciders normally, yeah. But I'm going to give this one a go.
Go on then. Give this a go.
So is that sweet cider?
Really, really nice. It's not too sweet, but you can definitely tell that it's not as dry as the
other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So medium. That's a medium. Not too sweet. Mm. Yeah. Mm, that's very nice, isn't it? Mm. Really, really good. So you've got your packaging here. Where do you sell it, Kevin? I know you've got tracts of land in Kent. Kent, very famous for apples, of course, almost as famous as Somerset. And you've got lots of different areas around Kent, different sort of farms. You know, where can we get this hold of this? Because it looks lovely.
Well, I've got a premises licence now at the farm, so you can actually
rock up at the farm.
Yeah, you can buy direct from the farm, but it's probably best to give me a call first, because I might be out with the livestock and not always available.
And do you sell it in other farm shops or farmers markets?
Yeah, I attend the Ashford Farmers Market on the Sunday, first Sunday of the month, although these next few I'm away, so I won't be there. But yeah, farmers markets, mostly to micropubs.
I was going to say, because I know it's sort of widely available in some of the micropubs, and it's great that pubs will actually sell this type of product, you know, rather
absolutely,
than the boring thing,
yeah.
Don't you think, Paul?
And no, absolutely.
And you should be using local stuff like this.
Yeah, it's and cider has made a huge comeback. I don't drink alcohol, as it happens, but cider has made a huge comeback over the last few years as well, hasn't it? It's become a very popular drink again.
I think so.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when we started, I think there was 15 or 20 cider makers in Kent.
Right.
Now there's over 30, so...
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it is a popular drink.
So Paul obviously is a connoisseur of soft drinks, so he's now going to try Kevin's apple juice. I think you'll get that earthiness we're getting in the cider. It's lovely.
Do you know what? I'm not normally a big fan of things like that because they're too sweet. I don't like sweet. I'm a real fickle kind of person, Kevin. I'm sorry about that. But that is gorgeous. It's not sweet. It's not horrible.
It tastes of the ground. It tastes of the earth. It tastes of Kent.
It does. It has a fabulous taste. And it's the kind of thing that I like. I was going to use the word sour, but that's not fair because it's not sour. But you know what I mean? It's not too sweetened. Mm. And that's one of the things that I really dislike about all fruit juices, you know, the Sunny Delight kind of approach to fruit juice. That is absolutely delicious and very, very drinkable.
Well, you're going to love talking to Julian later in the programme, because he's making fruit juice that's got 70% less of those fruit sugars. And I'm quite intrigued to work out how he's done that, because fruit juice is getting a bit of a bad press, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Did you like that? That was a little pun there.
Bad press. Got it. I did get it.
Did you get that? No, you didn't.
I did get it.
You completely missed that.
I wanted to ask Kevin, if I may, though, the difference between cider and apple juice.
Okay, well, yeah. There's actually no difference there whatsoever. The juice you're tasting is the same product that we turn into the cider. So basically, we add some yeast and let the yeast do its work. And
that brings the alcohol out.
Yeah.
So you've just given me alcohol-free cider, basically.
Essentially, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Sweet, I like it. Yeah.
But you can taste, I love the fact that comes through in the cider, Paul, which I know you're not tasting. Mm. And you really do get that lovely earthiness. Mm. We've got lemon and blackcurrant ciders here. Are those popular in the pubs and micropubs that you sell in? Do people like that sort of like spin on it?
Oh, yeah, there's various fruit ciders now. Most producers are aiming for a new angle, especially with the pubs and the big boys making various fruit ciders. But I try to use the real fruit.
Wow.
did that have a kick, Sue?
No, that really knocked me back from the microphone.
I noticed, yeah.
The reason being is, as soon as you open it, you get a massive whiff of lemon. So this is a lemon cider. So you get a huge, look, Christy's face, you get a huge smell
really,
of lemon.
Really, lemony, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I sniff your lemon, please?
Yeah, you can.
You may.
As soon as you open it, you get It's huge. Wow, whiff of lemon. Mm.
Yeah, you might find some bits in it. Don't worry about that. That's because it's a real fruit in there. And the lemon or the fruit ciders I find are better chilled. I do attend the Whitstable Oyster Festival.
That's
and
a
it's
great
a big,
venue.
It's a big favourite there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's got a fabulous bouquet.
Hasn't it?
I just sniffed the...
That's why I went backwards. It wasn't because of the drink. It was because of the smell. Yeah,
absolutely. It was gorgeous. Gorgeous smell.
It's well, almost a little bit cocktail-y, isn't it? Like, you can imagine it going in a cocktail.
That's funny you should say that, because we have got a section on cocktails later, haven't we? It's funny you should say that.
Andy?
This show isn't just thrown together, you know.
well, yes. What we need to do, Christy, I think, is find some type of cocktail and make our own cocktail recipe up that
Excellent
would include
idea.
Kevin's lemon cider.
Yeah, I think
there
we
must
should.
Be there must be a natural. We must find some mixologist person, whatever they're called, to come up with something.
Contact us.
Yeah, if anybody's good at mixing cocktails and knows what we can do with lemon cider, that would be great. I'm going to try the blackcurrant cider. Where do you get the blackcurrants from, Kevin?
I buy those online, although there is a local producer. I see up the pub, but I haven't been up for a while. But I can buy them from a company called British Blackcurrants, and they sell in 12-kilo boxes, so I buy various amounts. And basically, I spend a day just crushing up blackcurrants.
That's a good day. I bet you got your fingers are stained and everything's stained.
Everything is. Yeah. But of course, we pasteurise the juice once we've extracted, same as the lemons. The lemon juice is actually extracted the same in the same process as making the cider, the apples. So, we collect that and the pasteurise the juice and then add it at point of sale.
Well, I've got a massive whiff of blackcurrant again. Mm. As soon as you open Kevin's bottles, you get a huge smell of fruit that I don't recall from any other product that I've had.
No, flavoured ciders are obviously really coming back in, aren't they? You've got the blackcurrant, the orange, I think Stella do a cider, don't they, now, that's quite orangey.
Is this more a girly thing, do you think, the flavoured ciders?
Kevin? Yeah, I used to think that was the case, but young people like the fruit ciders... boys and girls, obviously over 18, of course.
So this is alcoholic Ribena, really, I would say, Paul. That's how I classify it.
You're getting there. Can I sniff that?
Mm. Kevin's really got a way of getting a fruit-packed smell.
Well, I wanted to ask him about it, really. In the production process, Kevin, with both the lemon and the blackcurrant cider, I mean, what's the process? You make the cider and then add the flavouring to it afterwards?
That's exactly right. We don't. If you add the fruit at the start, then the alcohol would come out of the fruit and you'd have a different product. Mm. But, of course, with the duty, that's called a made wine. So.
Right.
You would be paying more for that, and I feel it's better to get the flavour and add it as we go. For example, this was added just before I came today. So,
and that's better at controlling the flavours, so you can really get what you want.
Well, it is, of course.
Yeah. We've got a gorgeous...
I'm still drinking the apple juice, you know.
Because it's so nice.
But it's really nice, yeah.
You've also got here mead. Now, mead is a very traditional old English drink, made from honey, I think. And you've said you've handcrafted this made with wild honey with your own bees. So not only are you using your own apples in your own orchards, but you're using your own bees.
This man's an overachiever, basically.
It's really great. And so explain the process of making mead, because it's slightly different, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It takes about 3.5 pounds of honey in a demijohn if you're going to make it on a small scale. So it's not an expensive thing. And so if you mix the honey and the water together, of course there's no water in the apple production. So mix the honey and water, add some yeast and wait for 18 months to 2 years.
So this is a much longer process, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
This is my favourite. Do you like that, Christy?
I do. I've never had mead before.
Well, I've had mead, but a long, long time ago. And I remember it being very, very sweet. Like what you had when you were a kid, you know, like 14 or 15, trying to have a little drink, you know, surreptitiously. This is, I don't know how to explain it. It has got the apple flavour. It has got honey, but it doesn't end sweet, does it?
No, it has got a slight, you can just, it's just almost like a silky, little.
Very honey.
Sweetness. Yeah, a little nice touch of honey at the end.
Yeah, no, nice touch.
I think you find it, you do get a double taste with the mead. It's like if you drink a sake, you have it, it's warm and it's like a spirit, and then it comes down to a wine when it cools off. But the mead, most people that taste it say, oh, I'm getting the honey now.
Yeah, you get that it is after. Yeah. Definitely after. You get that little twang of honey at the end.
That's
it's
right.
Lovely,
yeah.
Smooth.
Do you know what I think that would go well with? You know, you could, sometimes after dinner you get ricotta cheese, and sometimes people dribble honey over ricotta cheese.
Or the goat's cheese. And yeah,
yeah, this would be nice if you had some of that. You know, goat's cheese or
you're
ricotta.
You're going to dribble mead over your goat's cheese.
No.
Only you could do
no,
that.
No, I wasn't saying that. But you get
accompaniment.
Yeah, so you could use that as a nice. Would you chill that, Kevin?
Yeah, that'd be nice chilled.
Yeah. So have that really nice and chilled on a hot summer's day after dinner with some goat's cheese or some ricotta cheese. That would be pretty good. Maybe some figs actually to go with that. I'm thinking hot summer day if we ever get one in the garden at barbecue. Perfect.
It sounds like a Roman party theme night coming up.
I'll be wearing my toga. I'll be wearing my toga. That would be really good.
Cool. I just want to ask. We're kind of running out of time a little bit here, but I just want to ask Kevin. I mean, mead is a very ancient drink. It's been made for thousands of years, basically. Your recipe, is that a modern recipe or is it an old style recipe?
No, I got the recipe from an old book. I also make a melomel, which is a blackcurrant mead. So any mead with fruits is called a melomel, a metheglin if you use herbs. But I just followed a recipe from a book and we've been doing it for, this is not the first attempt. Sometimes we found we needed more honey or different varieties.
Right.
But so you just sort of get a recipe and then you sort of tweak it until you get exactly
that's
what
right.
you want.
That's right. And, of course, you can change the yeast as well to get a higher ABV on the mead. That's at the moment is about 13%.
Yeah, so this is like a fairly decent wine in terms of the strength. So I just think it's really nice. And sometimes I have dessert wine afterwards. I think I prefer this. It's slightly different.
I really like it. I'm a convert.
I really like. Well, I'm not going to say that. But also it hasn't got. Sometimes you get a real viscosity with the dessert wines. You know, they're quite thick and oily. This is really smooth. Really, really, really quite nice.
All of them being really clean tasting. If you know, I don't know if that's the right way to describe it.
I think it because they haven't got loads of old. Rubbish in there. They're just pure. They're just straight from Kevin's farm. They're his apples. They're his land. They're his farm. They're his bees. You know, and it just, they just taste fantastic.
They do.
So thank you very much, Kevin. That's amazing. What we're going to do is I want to chat about cocktails just for a second, if that's okay, Paul. And then we've got our We Hate Heston. We did a rather naughty thing this time, Paul, in that I know you're grinning from ear to ear there. We just, there's four girls together and we just had a microphone and we had loads of bottles of stuff and we had some cocktail glasses and we thought, why don't we make cocktails, our own favourite cocktails with our own favourite recipes. We can all taste each other's and then decide, you know, whose is best. So do you want to just put We Hate Heston and you can tell me how bad it is when we've finished. Okay.
So I'm joined here by Christy and Lucy and Jane and me, Sue Nelson, and obviously it's the girls having a little cocktail making evening. We're all going to make our favourite cocktail that we like, and then we're going to taste it between us and see what we all think. I'm going to start off with a Negroni, which is a really old-fashioned, historic cocktail, and it's very, very sour, so that's my favourite. So it has Campari and gin and sweet vermouth. So you do half a part gin, you can hear me. No, half a part, it's not half a glass. Half a part gin, followed by a full part of sweet vermouth, you know, that's like sweet martini. That sounds horrible, but it goes really, really well with then a whole part of Campari. So in essence, you've got, and that goes in my cocktail shaker, with loads and loads and loads and loads of ice. I'm going to give that a good old shake in my shaker, and then I'm going to pour it into a lovely cocktail glass, and then you need a little slither of orange in it. Some people top it up with a little bit of Prosecco. I think that's a waste myself. So just to recap, you're going to taste this in a minute, Christy. So just to recap, we've got like a half measure of gin, a full measure of sweet vermouth, and a full measure of Campari.
Okay.
So I'm going to, can I taste it first?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to do a little mix and, you see, I love that. You taste that. Oh my goodness. You taste that. So it's really sour?
Yeah. It's really strong.
Yeah, well, it is strong, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to down that, would you? But no, it's lovely.
It's good just before you go out somewhere, because it really does get you going. There is another traditional Italian cocktail called Gin and It, which means gin and Italian. And that is just the gin and the sweet vermouth without the Campari. But for me, I like the Campari because it makes it nice and sour.
Yeah.
Okay. Lucy, do you want a quick taste of that?
A little taste.
Oh, that's lovely.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Because it is sour, isn't it?
Yeah, you actually... gave me my first Negroni,
there
so...
First Negroni ever. Okay, so hand it to Jane. Jane's going to have a quick taste.
That is very sour. It's nice.
So you don't like sour?
I'm not crazy about sour, but that is nice. Actually, that's drinkable. Okay. I would have that.
Okay, so that's our first one. That's Sue Nelson's Negroni. So Christy's going to make an espresso martini. I have to say that Negroni, for me, is a great way to start the evening off. Certainly gets you going. I quite like espresso martinis after dinner. Where does the recipe come from, Christy?
So it was created by barman Dick Bradshaw in the 80s, and it was to make one of his customers liven up.
Okay, so his customer said, literally, can you just make me a drink that will wake me up? And that's what he came up with. Okay, talk us through the ingredients.
Okay, so we put in Kahlua, or I guess you could use Tia Maria, similar, isn't it?
Most.
Yeah, liqueur, so that's about 25ml of that. Then you've got espresso coffee, so again, 25ml.
Do you just make a normal espresso coffee in a
Yeah, cup? Well, I've just used... You can get some really good instant espresso coffee now, rather than kind of put the filter on, which is a bit lazy, but
so
just
espresso,
as good.
And then Tia Maria.
Yeah.
So equal parts of that.
Yeah, equal parts of those two. And I'm just going to put them into a cocktail shaker. Vodka. Where's my vodka? There it is.
And so you had twice as much vodka as you do Kahlua.
Yes, it's
so
more vodka.
Half part, and a full part vodka.
Yeah.
And that's it?
That's it, and I've just got that in a shaker with a bit of ice.
And you need to really, really
give it a good
cold
shake. There we go.
And again, what sort of glass would you serve this in? Like traditional sort of triangular
martini
cocktail?
Glass.
Yeah,
I think. Okay, so you can see it's a little bit foamy there.
It's supposed to be, though.
Yeah.
I've seen that in bars where it's all foamy. Sometimes people put a couple of coffee beans on top.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're
and
supposed to drink
gently
them.
Pour it in so that you get the nice layer of foam at the top.
And obviously no ice when it's
no
served.
No ice. There we go.
Wow, look at that. Okay.
Right, so I'll have a little taste first because I made it. Mmm, lovely.
Is that your favourite?
Yeah, absolutely my favourite.
I've had a little drink of that.
Taste it.
I think there needs to be, I think the espresso needs to be slightly stronger, actually.
Mm. I think maybe even a little bit more Kahlua.
Yeah, I think probably more coffee.
Mm.
Do you want to try that, Jane?
Yeah, I like it. Thank you.
Really enjoying this. This is a great way to spend an evening, isn't it? So we've done Negroni. You love that.
Really
espresso martini. So espresso martini is really good to end the evening. And then really, I'm guessing that you could have Negroni, have a really nice meal, have your espresso martini. You wake up in the morning. What do you need? You need a Bloody Mary.
You certainly do.
And obviously, this is loads and loads of different recipes for Bloody Mary. But this is Lucy's favourite recipe. Do you want to talk us through this, Lucy?
Yes, definitely. So thinking about the cocktails, this is probably... I've got so many favourite cocktails. But this is, by all means, my favourite. I'm not going to use a cocktail shaker this time, actually. Sometimes I do.
People tend to do a Bloody Mary in a tall glass, don't they? Like a highball glass. Whereas we also had our martini glasses, but it tends to be a long, tall drink.
Yeah. Some people even say to serve it in a pint glass.
Really?
Oh. So what I'm going to do is start it off with filling the glass with ice, so it's completely full up. Then I'm going to put a nice, helpful...
double shot of vodka, I can see. If you if you don't drink, though, you can easily do a
Virgin Mary
by not having the vodka, because actually it's a really nice drink anyway.
A nice double shot of vodka in there, first of all. And then I'm going to put the celery salt and pepper.
So celery salt and pepper. Celery salt you can get from a supermarket easily enough.
Yes, yeah. It's just along the herb and spices aisle.
And then I see in your recipe, I'm looking over your shoulder, you've got Worcester sauce, Worcestershire sauce and Tabasco sauce.
Yes.
Not either or?
No, both.
You like both?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Oh. They're two completely different flavours.
Yeah, I tend to go for the Worcestershire sauce, but not the Tabasco. Can't
I really
say
don't like spicy, though, do you?
I do like spicy, but I just find that I find Worcestershire sauce is just enough, actually. Just enough.
Yeah. I think it misses the Tabasco.
Do you?
So just a bit of a shake of that.
So you've got six dashes at least, but I suppose you do that to taste.
Yes, exactly. So I'd probably put about eight in.
And Tabasco sauce is a pepper sauce, which is why it's so hot.
Yeah, so literally just a couple of drops of this.
And, of course, really important is lemon juice.
Yes.
Because, actually, tomato juice is quite sweet.
Yeah, so you need to
offset
it's quite
it.
Quite thick as well, and that's why I like to have loads of ice with the vodka as well, because otherwise it can be a bit too thick. Mm.
I've heard some people say that a proper recipe for Bloody Mary is with sherry in it, dry sherry. Have you ever heard of that?
I have, yeah. Mm. I have, but I don't really fancy it. So.
You should try it. We were having a cocktail evening.
Yeah. Well, that's next one, then.
My favourite of all time is I went with some friends to Portugal and we decided to make Bloody Marys, you know, one night. And we couldn't actually read Portuguese, so we went and got a carton of tomato juice, just like you've got there, and it had pictures of something red on the outside. So we thought, ha, that's tomato juice. Anyway, we made these Bloody Marys, and it was plum juice. It was disgusting.
Do you prefer to use tomato juice?
But I couldn't find
it. So tomato juice, it's tomato juice, but it's got clam stock in it as well.
Clamato juice? I have never heard
Absolutely
of that.
Absolutely amazing. It really,
Where
really makes
from?
Tomato juice. I know they definitely sell it in Sainsbury's.
Okay, have a look at that.
You can only get it in certain supermarkets.
And what does the clam juice do to it?
It just, I don't really know. It just
gives a bit of saltiness, I would think.
Yeah, a bit more flavour. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look out for that.
So look out for that and try
that. If not, normal tomato juice.
Is absolutely fine. I've just squeezed about a quarter of a lemon in, which is probably quite a lot, but I do quite like it fresh and quite sharp.
And then about 150 mils, or at least top up the glass, essentially.
Basically, so I'm just going to top that up there.
And now this does need a good stir, doesn't it? Because So I'm going to stir. Some people put a stick of celery in, I've seen.
Yes, they do.
I don't know what that's about. It's like a meal in itself.
I really like putting the celery in because it's just quite a nice, especially when you are a little bit fragile from the night before.
Yeah.
And also, I quite like serving it with a dish of port scratchings if you've surfaced quite late.
Port scratchings, oh my god.
I made one.
Oh my goodness, yeah, obviously.
Right, so...
Are you going to taste that first?
I am.
And presumably, like with any cocktail, if you just taste it and it hasn't quite got the balance,
like
add a little bit more.
Almost perfect. Maybe a bit more vodka.
I'm going to quick taste that one. It is it's a great drink. It's quite weak, actually, but it's lovely.
Nice, yeah, lovely.
I think it's not spicy enough.
Yeah, it needs a little drop of Tabasco.
Yeah.
And that was only two drops. So
that was two. I'm sorry.
James, just doing that, I don't know if you think that's not spicy enough.
I like them quite mild, so that's lovely. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd definitely add a bit more Worcester sauce, a bit more Tabasco. Perfect. So our three favourites. Jane, are you going to make your favourite? Have you got the ingredients here?
Think so.
Right, Jane, I've never heard of Japanese maple, did you say?
That's
it was?
Right, yeah. Neither did I till recently. Okay. But I was having a Japanese food evening at home and found this in the Difford's Guide. It's perfect for maybe when you've had your hard weekend and it's Sunday night and you're ready for a bit of hair of the dog and something relaxing, quite strong, quite smooth for the evening.
Okay, and the ingredients are?
Well, the first thing you need to do is put a martini glass in the freezer. So that's nice and chilled. Start with that.
Top tip.
Only takes a couple of minutes, but that's always worth doing. So you start with a 1¾ shot of whiskey. 1¾ shot of whiskey.
Wow.
Yeah, it's strong. Ideally Japanese whiskey, but you go through it quite quickly. So.
And Japanese whiskey is really interesting recently. It's actually even beating Scotland.
Yeah.
There's some incredible whiskey, quite expensive, 40, 50 pounds a bottle, but they really are almost beating the world at whiskey at the moment.
Yeah, I think within the last couple of years, they have actually won best whiskey in the world, a Japanese whiskey.
And that's malt and blended.
Yes, absolutely.
So we've got a nice whiskey.
Okay, so you put in your whiskey. You then add, and bear with me, one full shot of maple syrup, which sounds horrible, but it is nice.
Maple syrup, that's a full shot, what do you mean by shot? Like a tablespoon or?
A full, like a 25 mil.
So you actually measure it out? Wow.
Yeah, full shot of maple syrup. Okay. It's worth buying a really good quality one. It does push the price of the cocktail up, but it's worth it in the end. Add that. You then add one egg white, I reckon, to the cocktail shaker. Again, bear with me.
I'm struggling to like this one at the moment. Carry on.
And a shot of freshly squeezed lemon juice. You then shake the ingredients with no ice. Then once you've given it a good shake, and it's nice and foamy, add some ice, which I'm just doing now. Give it a good shake. And then it goes into your lovely chilled glass.
So an egg white's interesting. Why is that? Just give it a bit of, I don't know, what
it gives it a bit of lift. It makes it really foamy.
Oh,
and
just foam.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah.
You can see
really,
that there. It's smooth as you're it's swishing
sort of,
it about.
It aerates out the syrup, I think, a little bit. It takes some of the weight away from
the
it.
Syrup down a little bit, I can imagine.
And there you have essentially it's a whiskey sour, but it has a sweet taste. So if, like you, see, you like sours, that's perfect. But for someone like me who's not so crazy about sour tastes, it has a nice, sweet, light finish to it.
Christy, are you going to taste this first?
I am, yes.
What do you think?
Okay.
I want to see whether it's too sweet or not.
Okay. The texture's really smooth. It's quite silky. And it's not as sweet as I thought it was going to be. Do you want to have a go, Lucy?
Yeah, please.
It looks amazing, though, doesn't it?
I've never heard of this cocktail, ever.
I've never heard of it, but I think I'm going to be hooked. It's absolutely lovely, isn't it?
Okay, so that's our four cocktails. I'm going to try this in a minute. So that's our four cocktails. Negroni, my personal favourite. Espresso martini, which is Christie's, to end your evening. Bloody Mary to wake you up with, which is Lucy's. And Japanese maple, very interesting, really, really quite different, from Jane. Hope you will try them at home.
That sounded really boozy, Sue.
You can tell we had... You can tell that we had a few drinks there, I think. And I'm sorry about the sound. The sound quality was a little bit iffy.
No, you didn't have a few drinks, did you?
It was sort of because we weren't holding the microphone properly, probably. But it was really good fun. But the cocktails are really popular at the moment, as you know.
Mm.
And some of those are really traditional ones, like Negroni is a very old recipe. And
sure.
Very sour, I really like that. But I hadn't heard of the one which has got maple syrup in it. I mean, that, if you drink loads of that, that's going to make you seriously ill by the end of the evening.
I have to say, that did not impress me. And you know my views on alcohol anyway, but... maple syrup, really.
Well, that's why we didn't invite you.
True.
Yeah, all around looking at all our different sort of glasses and cocktails. Great fun. We're gonna go down to the soft drink now, which you're a bit of an expert.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so we've got Julian here, Julian Hallam. Mm. And he makes these really interesting, light, hydrating, naturally sweet juices. And for some, I don't know how he's going to do it, so I really want to know this. He takes out these sugar levels so they haven't got high sugar.
Mm.
And he produces three flavours, which we've got in front of us. We're going to try those. Sweet red apple, green apple and ginger. I love ginger.
Mm.
And squeezed orange. So you have a good taste of those.
Sexy.
And, yeah. And Julian had the inspiration for the drinks when he was travelling around Vietnam on a motorbike, as you do. And he tried loads of juices from those. Have you ever been there to Thailand or Cambodia or Vietnam or anything? They always have these little small stands on the side and they have these, I think they even sell petrol from the side of the road like that as well. But they're made with tropical fruits like mango and dragon fruit and really exotic stuff.
Mm.
And I think that's what gave Julian his idea. So he's standing here. He's very tall, actually, aren't you, Julian? Because I'm quite short.
Hello, Sue. Yes.
Yes, on a motorbike riding around. So we've got four lovely flavours in front of us and some quite nice packaging. Explain this thing about the sort of sugar. I don't really understand. We had Nita from Posh Detox on the programme a few weeks ago, and she really demonised fruit juice, as a lot of people do, because they're saying there's too much natural sugar in it, which is bad for kids and kids' teeth.
Absolutely. I mean, we have made references a couple of times, but 10, 15 years ago, we had the Sunny Delight revolution, which was, you know, really brought an end to that whole thing when everybody discovered that there was no fruit in it and just, you know, 14 zillion E numbers and 18 tons of sugar.
Mm.
But she
was saying, you know, don't have fruit juice, eat fruit because, you know, fruit juice is too high. Tell me how you sort of feel about that and the fact that fruit juices are a bit demonised?
Thank you, Sue. And I'm flattered that you know so much about us. Basically, right now in the UK, we're suffering from an obesity crisis. Mm. One in four adults.
Why is he looking at me?
Fairly obvious.
I'm trying to talk to the room here. One in four adults, but one in five children below the age of 12 are obese, which I mean, that is absolutely
frightening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really shocking. Yeah. And as most people know, it's sugary drinks is the number one cause of that. We're selling about £10 billion worth of soft drinks in the UK every year. Yeah. What is less known, about 70% of people aren't really kind of aware of natural fruit sugar, fructose, which is present in any kind of any fruit drink and any fruit. But it's just, as people might think, oh yeah, it's natural, so it's healthy and it's fine. Fruit sugar is just like refined sugar. So drink a bottle of orange juice, bottle of apple juice, you might as well be drinking a can of Coca-Cola. It's that serious.
I think there's even more than a can of Coke, actually, isn't there?
Well, there is, yeah. Maybe I'm being a little bit modest, but we're drinking about £1.5 billion worth of fruit juice every year.
It's interesting that you say that, Julian, because I'm teetotal, so I don't drink alcohol.
Yes.
And that doesn't leave you a lot to drink. If you start cutting out sugary stuff, you've got water, tea or coffee as your choices, really. And I totally agree with you. I actually don't normally drink fruit juice for exactly that reason. One, I don't actually like sweet things anyway. I'm not a sweet type of person. And so many natural fruit juices are just like eating sugar on a stick for me. And I just can't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something where there's not a lot of awareness. And of course, parents will happily give their children an orange juice or apple juice.
One in five a day, isn't it?
Well, exactly. That's kind of how it's sold. But basically, we're here to get the UK drinking less natural fruit sugar, which is why we've created our drinks Muddles. Now, Sue, you were asking about the lower sugar side of it. So what we do with ours is, as opposed to with pure juice, we use a measured portion of fruit. So there's still, as you mentioned, one of your five a day, and they've still got a fantastic flavour. But because there's less fruit in there, there's therefore less sugar. And we mix it with water, and there's some lemon juice in there. And we also use a stevia leaf. I've actually got some here, Sue, if you want to give that a smell.
Yes, I've tasted a raw stevia leaf.
Okay, right. And, oh, so you know it.
Sorry, what is that?
It's a natural sweetener. It's a plant.
What's it called again, Julian?
It's stevia leaf. So stevia leaf, it's in that little jar, and it's kind of like green tea. So it's got a kind of a really bittersweet flavour. Now, stevia has been present in soft drinks in the UK for about 5 years now. The trouble with any stevia-based drink at the moment is it has this kind of artificial aftertaste, which it really puts people off. Yeah, well, that's the face that people generally make.
That's actually his normal face.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Right, I'll bear that in mind.
Sorry to interrupt you, but this is interesting because, one, you're absolutely right, which is no surprise, but I just want to tell the listener about my experience of just dipping my finger in that bottle.
Yeah, so there's a powder. He's made it into a powder.
It's a powder, and it's got quite a pungent smell.
Yes.
But the interesting thing is I then licked it off my finger. And it is incredibly sweet tasting. And you really don't expect that. Because it doesn't look sweet, if you see what I mean.
It's very odd. And actually, you'll eat a leaf and the leaf is incredibly sweet. It's the most bizarre experience, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of a strange thing. I mean, it smells like a horse box.
Yeah,
it's got that kind of... It looks like green tea or matcha tea powder.
Yeah.
Now, all the drinks out there that currently use a stevia-based sweetener... they all have this kind of aftertaste. So Tropicana, they do a low-sugar orange juice using stevia leaf, and there are a couple of others, but they have this really horrible aftertaste. Now, with our drinks, there is no aftertaste.
Right.
So you've spent a lot of time trying to remove that.
Yes.
And then you've worked really hard to get the sugars down.
Uh-huh.
I think having been, my children are well grown up now, but when the children were younger, they didn't particularly like fruit, you know, to eat fruit, eat an apple or something. So I was trying to work out how I do get that fruit and vegetables in. So a lot of parents are torn in that you want to probably provide them with some fruit juice, and yet we're getting loads of press now that it's bad for you. This is a really good idea, isn't it? Because it means that you can get some fruit, good fruit, and I know you're using vegetables as well, into your kids, but actually you've really, really reduced that sugar level.
Well, that's exactly what this is for. It's for anyone who's weight conscious, and then anyone who wants something healthy for their kids, basically,
sure.
That also tastes delicious and is refreshing. This is also much more hydrating than fruit juice as well because of the water content.
Because you've got more water.
Can I ask you a couple of questions there, Julian?
Fire away.
Just so that I got this through my small brain.
Go for it.
The powder that you just told me and showed me, and I just tasted. Do you use that in your products?
So we use a stevia leaf extract, something that we can easily put in the drinks. But as I said, so the idea is we're going for something that tastes really natural, lovely, refreshing flavour to it. It's quite light, and it has that kind of a subtle texture for it. But
that's apple.
Oh, it's apple, spinach, and cucumber, that one. So you did point out on the ginger one earlier. We've changed that since you read that. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
This is lovely, though.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Because cucumber I really like. So obviously, it goes without saying, Paul, if you have gin, you have to have cucumber in gin.
That's true.
You know, if anybody's getting lemon in gin...
She's got most of the components of a Pimm's in there, is what she's trying to tell you. Yeah.
And I really like the taste of cucumber. It's very, very refreshing. Great. With spinach and apple. Interesting combination.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, we have a couple of apple-based drinks here. The one you're drinking now, as we've talked about, apple, spinach and cucumber, and we'll move on to the apple and raspberry, and then there's a squeezed orange as well.
Is there a particular advantage to basing it around apples? Or is it just something you've chosen to do for taste purposes?
No pun intended with this comment, but the UK is so saturated with different drinks at the moment. Flavoured water is kind of a very on-trend thing at the moment. And there's so many different drinks trying to do so many different things. And what we're trying to do is, we're just keeping it really simple with apple and orange juice. The main difference between ours and regular apple and orange juice is ours have about half the sugar.
Right.
So that's how we stand out.
Okay. And presumably, obviously, that reduces the calorie level of the drink as well.
Absolutely. So we're talking less than 100 calories in one of these bottles.
Right. Okay. In a bottle?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Well. Would you like to try apple and raspberry?
Oh, go on then.
Yeah. I've obviously given the cider a bit of a bashing, so you can give the fruit juice.
The thing is here, Julian, I normally don't get to try stuff here because they normally have alcohol in this studio. So it's very rare that I actually get to try any of this stuff.
Yeah. It's your lucky day.
It's my
so
lucky day.
Because actually you have loads of food. And if you go and actually think, oh, do you know what? I might take a little piece of that home. No, he's already put it in his bag.
Oh, I'm liking that. And he's stolen. What have you just given me?
That's apple and raspberry.
Oh, I am liking that.
Is that good?
I am liking that an awful lot.
Taste that.
Terrific.
While I'm opening my apple and raspberry, you've brought along there's loads and loads of brands now that are not selling fruit juice, but they're selling something water, as in, you know, health water or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the marketing people have got in there and thinking, oh, cool, we can't call it juice anymore, so we'll call it water. Can we do a taste test against that? I mean, I'm going to name it and shame it.
There's loads of these. Do.
This one's called Juicy Water. It's very familiar branding if you ever go into sort of any of the sandwich shops.
Yes.
Paul, will you do me a little tasting between Juicy Water and your apple and raspberry? Talk for a minute while I pour it out.
Only if you give me some more apple and raspberry, because I've drunk all that.
Actually, I'd ask, because we've got the Juicy Water, the orange one, and we have our orange, if you'd be able to try both the orange ones to see how they compare
better,
for a direct comparison.
Like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like for like, isn't it?
Okay. So Sue's going to set this test up. What have you got there? You've got a supermarket brand of orange drink, or what have you got there?
It's a well known label. It's called Juicy Water, and it's orange and lemons with spring water.
Yes. Okay.
And there's a lot of these being sold at the moment.
Made by a well known smoothie company.
Okay, nope. Yep.
You can say what you want because we don't mind naming and shaming.
Yeah, yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm innocent. Don't worry.
Well, you just said it.
Have I? Oh.
Which, of course, is Coca-Cola. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so this is something that's that you'll see on any kind of supermarket shelves, any kind of food to go sort of places. Now, this one. Oh, well, I'll let you try it first, and I can tell you about
Interestingly,
the essentials.
Just looking at
Sue has just passed me two thimblefuls of liquid, but she didn't tell me which one was which.
Oh, good.
So this is really, really is test. Could be make or break here, Julian. It could, yeah. No pressure.
No.
I'm gonna go in now.
If you pick the wrong one, Paul, you're dead.
I'm really gonna make a mess of this, aren't I?
No, you're not. It's fine. I mean, personally, you can just tell by the colour so easily. I'm thinking. And actually, one of them separated a bit.
There is absolutely no doubt which of those is which. The one listener that you can't see in my right hand is quite clearly a mass-produced, manufactured, sugar-laden drink. And the one in my left hand is gorgeous. Yes, and looking at it now, the colours are different as well. But as soon as you get it near your mouth, you can smell it. You can smell the sugar, you know. You can smell the sugar in the shop bought one. The Julian's drink is It just has a feel of naturalness about it.
It's a bit like the cider we had earlier, and Christy was calling it clean. You know, you get the clean.
Yeah, it is. It's not overbearing. It has a very gentle taste on your palate. It does have a taste. You know, it's got a very pleasant and refreshing taste, but it doesn't feel. Do you know these other kind of drinks? You can't drink a lot of them either. Because, you know, it's just so heavy and...
Yeah, I don't drink fruit juice because
I don't because I...
You know, when you go out for an evening and you're driving and you have to drink something, if you drink fruit juice all evening, it really hurts, actually. You know, it's just too much.
Yeah. Sugar, no, so. I love that. Mm. No, it was really good.
Now, I've heard, Julian, that you actually are a bit of a barman and you've got a history of cocktail making. Is that true?
It is true. Just a small point on that little taste test you did there. So... The difference between the juicy water and a muddle is juicy water has 10 teaspoons of sugar in that bottle. This one, 3.5.
Yeah, absolutely. Even without tasting it, you can tell because the smell hits you. You can smell the sugar in the other one. It's just heavy. Absolutely. Can I ask you something completely random?
I'm going to ask him his cocktail question later.
You're going to ask what?
His cocktail experience later. Okay. So you go for your question.
Okay, why muddle?
Why muddle? So it does relate to Sue's question about cocktails. So muddling is a cocktail term. So muddling is where you get a load of fresh ingredients, put them in a Boston glass, get a muddler, crush it all together, which will be in something like a pina colada or maybe a raspberry daiquiri.
Right.
There'll be some muddling going on there. Then you add alcohol, lemon juice, and then double strain it and do a little garnish.
Wow, okay.
So that's where muddling comes
from.
Where
was your experience of you know, being a cocktail barman, a mixologist, as they call it?
Yeah, it was never particularly an ambition, but it's just something that kind of happened living in various places around the world. So crafting a cocktail is quite a really enjoyable experience. Yeah, exactly. And matching flavour profiles and coming up with stuff that's quite intricate. It's really satisfying. So I've worked in cocktails around the world from London to Melbourne in Australia. Mm. Learning all these kind of matching all these different flavours, and that's, I suppose, the roots of how we got to these drinks today.
Yeah. Right. Actually, we could have done you popping round to my house when we were mixing those cocktails earlier because we didn't really know what we were doing. We definitely weren't measuring them out properly. So it's really interesting that actually that's stood you in good stead, really, in terms of trying to get the flavour profile right.
Yeah, and maybe it's been to do with the testing because, I mean, I'm constantly working on these flavours, making sure everything is perfectly balanced to get that great flavour, that refreshing hit, and also that kind of that low sugar side of it as well.
And where can we get your lovely Muddles drinks from?
Yes, yeah, so we're a Brighton-based startup, so we've only been going since the start of the year. We just sell them across Brighton, but we're talking places like the Brighton Dome or the Brighton Pavilion Tea Rooms. Hisby Supermarket stock them, as well as 88 London Road. There's about 30 different stockists around the city. What we're looking at doing now is all the recipes are kind of done. We're looking to take this national by next summer, so we're working on that now.
And how are you producing this at the moment? Is it like a, without being rude, a kind of kitchen operation at the moment? Yeah,
that's not rude at all. It's exactly like that. It's just made at home and then distributed around Brighton.
Right, okay, cool.
Oh, I think they're really good. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting with the sugar tax because, as you know, it's going to be introduced in 2018. Mm. And pure fruit juices and milk-based drinks will be exempt from tax. So it's going to be interesting to see how the government classify something like the juicy water you've just been talking about, which has got a lot of sugar in it, versus something that is very, very natural like yours, and, you know, vegans can drink it. Do you think something like the sugar tax might actually be to your advantage eventually?
Very much so. I mean, I was chatting to Kate Henry, who was on the Bake Off a couple of years ago, about this, and we kind of came to the conclusion that it's only a matter of time before the sugar tax does stretch over to fruit juice, because, I mean, it absolutely should, considering
absolutely.
The health impacts that it has.
But and the point of the tax was exactly that. So,
So you need to look out for Muddles if you're currently in the Brighton area, but it's going to go national and you really need to have
Can we buy it online at all? Yeah.
So, as I said before, we just distribute it in Brighton.
Right.
And hopefully, online, sooner rather than later, you'll be able to pop down to your local supermarket.
Absolutely.
And grab
a bottle. Because you're a very new startup, aren't you? And it's very early days for you.
Exactly.
And no, brilliant.
Just a final thing on the sugar tax. They're saying that some tonic waters might be taxed. So my gin and tonic might get even more of a tax on it. which is going to be odd, isn't it? So so it might have an impact on gin and tonic consumption.
Absolutely. It's the sugar tax actually is going to be interesting because you're going to find you're paying taxes on things that you had no idea had sugar in them.
I think you might be paying taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes.
Yeah, well, that's a given. That's politicians for you, isn't it?
Always but, like. Yeah. And whether we're in or we're out of Europe, I think the sugar tax is going to be around anyway. So I really like the Muddles drinks. You need to look out for that if you're in the Brighton area. And I'm sure with Julian's Drive, it's going to go national. And of course, we had Kingswood Ciders earlier, which was Kevin Newing. Really like the taste of those, Paul. I know you don't drink cider, but even the apple juice was lovely, wasn't it? Really and earthy and natural.
And
really gorgeous.
It was really interesting, the range of meads that Kevin was doing as well. You know, taking a really ancient drink and bringing it into a modern setting, and flavoured meads I've never heard of before. The blackcurrant mead.
Really, really good. And as usual, yet again this week, so many lovely producers just determined to do it properly and determined to do it right and determined to do it clean and traceable and really shaming some of the high production national brands, I think. And they need to up their game, don't they?
Absolutely. They absolutely do. And it's lovely to see new startup local producers producing good, healthy food and drink here in the south of England, and fabulous stuff.
Yeah, so well done to you, Julian.
Thank you.
And we're going to look out for Muddles. I know you bought some nice bottles with you, so I hope you don't mind. We're going to steal those and drink those in the office the next couple of days. You're not having those, Paul.
Outrageous.
I'm really looking forward to next week. And we've got food next week, Paul.
Food. No drinks. Oh, great. I'm really pleased with what I've experienced today, and I'm going to get myself some Muddles because I don't normally drink sugary fruit juice, so I'm really pleased with that. I'm going to blag Julian to leave me some.
We're going
to
fight, aren't we?
Yeah.
Great stuff. Okay.
Anyway, you've been listening to the Food Talk Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Sue Nelson. We will be back with you at 4 p.m. next week on channelradio.co.uk. Have a good week.
Goodbye.